We shall now turn to the chapter which we read together, Hebrews chapter 13, and our text for this morning is verses 5 and 6. Hebrews 13, verse 5, let your conversation, your conduct, be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. We all have our trials. At times it seems that everything's against us, and that everyone is against us. But here in Scripture we have a wonderful promise. God says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And actually in the Greek there are three negatives, one after another. I will never, never, never leave thee nor forsake thee. We can be sure of this. And that is followed by a positive assertion. The Lord is my helper. How wonderful. The Lord is my helper. If God is our helper, why should we be afraid? The Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Doesn't matter what people will do. If God is our helper, if God's with us, then everything's going to work out fine. The Hebrew Christians were tempted and tested and tried. They were going through a difficult time. They were meeting with a lot of opposition. They were being persecuted. And actually, Paul is telling them that the persecution's going to get worse. You have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. But that's coming. Even worse persecution is coming. But here you have a promise. Don't give up. Don't despair. Stand fast. And remember, God is on your side. And that's what matters. If God be for us, who can be against us? What does it matter if people are against us? If God be for us, everything's sure to work out. So let's look then at these two verses together. And the first thing that we have here is, do not be covetous. Don't be greedy. Don't be jealous. Let your conversation, your lifestyle, your conduct be without covetousness. Now, covetousness is one of the great characteristics of the day in which we live. Wherever you look, you find the love of money, the love of material things. Paul tells us the love of money is the root of all evil. Why do you get stealing? The love of money. Why do you get murder? So often, the love of money. Why do you get prostitution? Immorality. The love of money. The root of all evil. Now, we hear a lot in the news these days about inflation. And we know ourselves how the prices of things are going up. The price of fuel. The price of heating and lighting. The price of food. And we're hearing about various groups of workers going on strike and thinking of striking. We hear about the train drivers. They earn £60,000 a year. But they're thinking of striking to get a bit more. They're not happy with what they earn. Nurses earn £25,000 a year. But they're wanting to go on strike. They feel they're not valued. Why is it that train drivers are paid so much and we're paid so little? And we look after people's health, and we've been there on the front line in the midst of the COVID epidemic, and we're just given $25,000 a year. Managers and shareholders, they seem to earn so much. These footballers, think of what they earn, millions of pounds. Some of them, millions of pounds a month, not alone a year. Why not me? It's not fair. I deserve to have more money. But Paul tells us here, be content with such things as ye have. Be content. A wonderful thing to be content. Greed makes people unhappy. Covetousness disturbs our peace. Be content with what you have. Few people are content. But in another place, Paul says, godliness with contentment is great gain. It's a wonderful thing to have godliness and contentment. Happy with what you have and happy with your God. When you have God, you've got everything. When you've got Jesus as your Savior, you're rich. When you've got heaven before you, what a tremendous future. You remember what Paul said to the Philippians. I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. That's tremendous, isn't it? I've learned to be hungry and to have plenty. I've learned to be cold and to be warm. I've learned to be in danger and in safety. I've learned to be in prison and to be free. I've learned in whatsoever state I am to be content. How could he learn that? By trusting God. By committing his life to God. By leaving himself in Jesus' hands. Jesus says to us, having food and raiment, therewith be content. If you've got food and clothes, be happy. God feeds the sparrows. He clothes the lilies. Will he not feed you, O ye of little faith? Will he not clothe you, his children? Of course he will. Put your trust in God rather than in yourself. Instead of being discontented and grumbling and complaining, just trust God. But people want a bit more than food and clothes. They want their latest mobile phones. They want their Netflix. They want their hairdressers and their makeup and special designer clothes, whatever it is. They want their drink and their smoking and their entertainment and their holidays. And they're always short of money. Short of money because they're greedy, wanting more and not content. Think of Lot and Abraham. Lot was in Abraham's house, sharing in that godly man's home. But then he looked towards Sodom, and it was very fertile in that direction. And he thought, if I take my flocks and herds down there, I'll get very rich. And no doubt he did get very rich, and he had a beautiful house in Sodom. But God destroyed Sodom. He made so much money, and it was all burnt up, and he ended up living in a cave with his two daughters. You see, it's not good to be greedy, to be seeking after more. We think of a man called Achan, and he was there at the siege of Jericho, and when Jericho fell, they were told that everything in Jericho was to be burnt as an offering to God. It was the first fruits of the promised land. But Achan saw there a wedge of gold. And he saw some silver. And he saw some beautiful Babylonish garments. And he thought, nobody will know. I'll just take some of this and I'll hide it under my tent. And he did that. But God saw. Because God's always watching. He sees everything we do. And what we do in secret, God's aware of. And you remember what happened to Achan. He was stoned to death. God's judgment came upon him and his family. When you think of Judas Iscariot, he looked at Jesus and he looked at the 30 pieces of silver. And he thought, I want the silver. And so he sold Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. As Christians, you and I should be different. We've got a Father in heaven who cares for us. Trust him. He will provide. And it's better to have a little with God's blessing than a lot without God's blessing. Remember what happened to the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. With God's blessing, they fed 5,000 people. Or you think of the prophecy of Haggai. Haggai complained to the Israelites, you're earning money and you're putting it in a bag with holes. Your purse has holes in it. You're making all this money and yet you've got nothing left at the end of the day. Why? Because you're not making God your priority. So you're earning all your money and you're putting it into a wallet with holes. It's far better to have a wallet that keeps the little you put in it than to have a wallet with holes in it. A little with God's blessing is better than lots without it. Many people in this world are far poorer than us. And yet they're happy. We think, some of us can think of our grandparents who were very poor, some of them, and had to pray sometimes for the meal they would have the next day. And yet they had a happiness in God. A little with God's blessing is better than lots without it. And remember, if you're a Christian, you've got treasure in heaven. You're wealthy. Whatever money you make here, you'll soon leave it behind. There's lots of people in this country and they're jealous of those folk, that couple from Gloucestershire who won the lottery recently, Euro Lottery. They got, what, £184 million. Wow. If I had £184 million, how happy I would be. Well, I don't know. You'd have an awful lot of worries. What am I going to do with it? And anyway, very soon, you'll die and leave it all behind. But if you have Christ, you've got a house of many mansions, eternal in the heavens. You've got a wonderful future, everlasting life. So, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. Be content. Godliness with contentment is great gain. But then the second thing we notice here is that it says, God is my helper. We have that in verse 6. We may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. Well, that's a quotation from Psalm 118, verse 6. Remember, we sang it earlier on in the service. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear what man can do unto me. A wonderful truth. God's not on everybody's side. But he's on the side of all those who trust in him. All those who love God. All those who put their faith in him. God's on their side. If you're a believer, if you trust in Jesus, if you pray to him and rely upon him, That faith you have in Christ shows that you're one of God's elect. That you're one in whom the Holy Spirit has come to dwell. That you're one for whom Christ died. That's an amazing truth. If God loved you from all eternity and chose you, if the Lord Jesus Christ came from heaven and died on the cross for you, if the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, has come to live in your heart and to make you a Christian, that's amazing. All around you there are people and they're dead in their sins. But you're alive. You're born again. You have God's Holy Spirit in your heart. God is your God. God is your helper. God is your Savior. You can say with the psalmist, Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not be in any need at all. I shall not want anything. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall never want. I shall never be in need. Because the Lord looks after his sheep. And even if one of his sheep goes astray, he goes hunting for it, looking for it everywhere, till he finds it and he brings it home. And he rejoices over the lost sheep that is found. You are precious to him. You are his beloved. He delights in you. He bought you with a high price. What did he pay for you? Not just a few pounds or a few million pounds, but something that gold and silver cannot be equated with. He bought you with the blood of his son. You're precious. The most precious thing in the universe, the most precious thing in heaven, has been paid for you. The blood of Christ. God is my helper. Think of Saul, the way he hated King Saul, the way he hated David and tried to kill him. Saul had many helpers. David was very vulnerable. He was a fugitive, hiding, running from place to place to hide. But God was on David's side, so David was safe. Later on, Absalom turned against his father David. And it seemed everyone was on Absalom's side. Even Ahithophel, David's friend, the wisest man in Israel, Ahithophel, he sided with Absalom. But God was on David's side. And God turned the counsel of Ahithophel to foolishness. If Absalom had followed Ahithophel's counsel, David was finished. But the people thought Ahithophel's counsel was foolishness. So they followed Hushai instead. And David was secure. And Ahithophel went away and hanged himself. Think of Jacob when he left home. He set off for Paddan Aram. All he had was a staff in his hand. But God was with him. And when he came back, he had flocks and herds and servants, wives and family. God was with him and God blessed him. Think of the Apostle Paul, as he says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 16 and 17. There he was standing before the Emperor Caesar, and he says, "At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion." Well, there you have it. How wonderful are these promises of Scripture. At my first answer, no man stood with me, But all men forsook me, notwithstanding the Lord stood with me, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. Godliness with contentment is great gain. If God be for us, who can be against us? Our faith must be in God, and then we can say with the psalmist in Psalm 23, goodness and mercy all my life shall surely follow me, and in God's house forevermore my dwelling place shall be. So God is my helper. And thirdly, we have here that God will never leave us nor forsake us. God's love is amazing. We often provoke him, yet he's long-suffering. We sin against him, and he forgives us. Our God is immutable, unchangeable. I am Jehovah, I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob, are not consumed. God never changes. He's the same. He's the same loving God who will never leave us nor forsake us. What a promise we have there. God made a great promise to Moses. Moses said to God, except thou go with us, except thy presence go with me, take me not up hence. And God said, I will go with thee. I'll go with you through the wilderness. And I'll go with you for 40 years. I will be with you. And then, when Moses died, God said to Joshua, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. We think of his words through Isaiah. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that speaketh against thee shall cease. We think of God's words through Micah. Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. Though I fall, I shall arise again. Though I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. We think of Christ's words to his disciples just before he left them. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Remember Paul in Corinth, facing many enemies. God said to him, no man shall do thee harm. I will be with thee. I have much people in this city. So there's a great emphasis here upon God's continuing with us. I will never, never, never leave thee nor forsake thee. I've engraved thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. He is as a wall of fire around his people. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about his people. No bad luck can come their way. We don't know what lies ahead for any of us. But one thing we know is God's our helper. God's with us. God will look after us. We may be fearful of the future, fearful of illness, fearful of death. I will be with thee. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Be strong, be courageous, fear not, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Let's pray. O Lord our God, we thank thee for thy goodness to us. We thank thee for all the blessings wherewith thou dost bless us. We pray that we would be strong in thee and in the power of thy might, that we would realize that God is there, And that we would take comfort from this. Help us, Lord, to trust in Thee. And do Thou, O Lord, not mark our sins against us, but be gracious unto us. Bless and pity us. Shine on us with Thy face. Help us always to trust in Thee as our helper. For Jesus' sake, amen.